Science and Torah, which when you hear that title, I don't know about you, but my immediate thought is biology, Rabbi Tendler, Zichrono Levracha, science, the connotation of like a laboratory, vitamin D, things like that, chemistry.
I thought you were going to follow the science.
Okay, we're not talking about, so I'll tell you what I want to talk about, which actually has nothing to do with that kind of science. As many of you know, every year during the summer and in the winter, I try to read one book, once in the summer and once in the winter. And somehow I got, it's a long story how I found this book. The author is a researcher by the name of Catherine Milkman. And the book is called How to Change. And I read this book over the summer, and I was tremendously nispal from this book. It's a phenomenal book. And this woman is a scientist. But the science that she deals with in this book is behavioral science, which is for people like me who can't add and don't really know what goes in a beaker. You know, that whole math science department, we don't know what to do with that. But this is kind of science that we can get into. You put a bunch of college students in a room and you test them and you poke them or you interview them. Like, that's my kind of science. So I read this book and I started dog-earing the book, because what she's doing is going through various constructs of successful strategies for change. And when I first started the book, I was like, this book is mamash, a tremendous book about tshuva, because there are many elements in it. And then I started to realize the truth is that if you look at it kind of through the lens of Chazal, you can really unpack a whole year's worth of material in this one book, because every other page you'll find, and we're going to spend the year thinking about different elements that help us become our best self. And that's really what tshuva is about. Tshuva is about being true to our inner selves. And these really fascinating studies have given us a window, a modern window, into thinking about these kinds of issues, about how we create change and how we sustain it. It's interesting that in halacha, the notion of behavioral science or analyzing people's attitudes, trends in how they approach things and behaviors is significant. It plays a significant role in halacha from a data-driven or analytical sense. So, for example, we have in halacha, you have a concept called rov, majority. So that word, rov, can mean different things in different contexts. When you talk about a mixture, like I have a barrel, and into that mixture, into that barrel of wine was poured, say, some whiskey that's not kosher, then you can use rov to talk about majority versus minority in terms of proportion. You could talk about rov when you think about statistics. So what's the statistical proportion of likelihood that such a thing will happen based on what we call ruba de isa kaman? You have 15 items in a bowl, one of them falls out, so you follow the statistics. But then there's a third area of rov, which is what we call ruba de lesa kaman. Ruba means a rov, a majority, that's not in front of us. It's not that you have 15 items, pieces, something that you can count. It's a rov, it's a majority that is not in front of us. It's a behavioral norm. We get a sense of how do people behave? What's the likelihood that people are going to respond in a certain way? And you follow that. It's called ruba de lesa kaman. It's not that you have a statistical number, but it's based on behavioral trends. So we look at behavioral trends to establish certain assumptions. We also do this in another area of halacha, interestingly, when sometimes when you have confusion about what the din should be in a specific case. So very often, based on a Gemara in Pesachim, Poskim will say, Rav Avadya will write, you know what? See what people do. It's not so clear. Well, People probably have a tradition. They may have a Masorah. So go see what people do. See what the behavior of the people is indicating. So the idea that you can look at people's behavior and influence halacha is very significant.
At the end of when you come to finish lighting Hanukkah candles, you know, when people are walking around in the market.
That's right.
So some places start and earlier and some are.
Perfect. Right. Exactly. So if you live, let's say, in a residential street like this, it's going to be different than if you live on the Upper West Side and people are there till 3 in the morning. So the idea that Chazal were sensitive to that point of like, let's not live in an abstract world. Yes, we're going to use halachic glasses, but we're going to look at the reality of what's going on out there. What people are doing is significant. It's also interesting when you think back to the times of Chazal, where Chazal will make statements and they'll give you a window into people's behavior or their attitudes, and you can wonder sometimes whether or not a statement of Chazal is descriptive or it's prescriptive. And there's going to be a difference. Sometimes Chazal are describing what they saw as a phenomenon in their day. Other times, Chazal are describing phenomena, behaviors that are really prescriptive. They really give you an insight into human nature. And that's kind of where we're going with this, that there are certain behaviors, there are certain things which are circumstantial, they're just descriptive, but then there are certain things which are built in. So it's really interesting. In 1975, in November, there was a get-together of the Reitz Rabbinic alumni. So apparently this was not uncommon that Rav Soloveitchik gave a lecture to the Rabbanim. He gave a lecture and he also gave a shiur. This lecture was given in a context which is not important for us right now, but there was some controversy going on in the world of halacha. And before he started the shiur, Rav Soloveitchik introduced it with his thoughts about what's going on. And the whole text of this I could send to you. It's interesting. First of all, part of this, he describes his weekly schedule. He talks about what it's like commuting from Boston and which kids he learns with when he goes home and this grandchild he learns with and that grandchild and what, you know, how he never gets a taint. And he says, I haven't taken the Shabbos nap in 20 years because I have this grandchild I learn with, I have that grandchild that I learn with. It's interesting. It's like the Rav speaking very openly and personally. But in that context, he has a very interesting point. This is a translation. It's not the original words. It's not on your paper. But the Rav has something which is interesting, where he says that the idea that there is such a thing called a chazaka, which is related to the idea of ruba delei sakaman, a chazaka in the words of Chazal, that the Chachmei Chazal have introduced, he says that they are indestructible. Those phenomena are not only with the halachos, but even with the chazakos, because for the chazakos with which Chazal spoke of rest not upon transient psychological behavioral norms, patterns, but upon permanent ontological principles rooted in the very depth of human personality, in the metaphysical human personality, which is as changeless as the heavens above. So it's important to distinguish and know that some of the things that we study when we look at human personality today, that's just descriptive. That's what we see. But it's like many things in science. Many things in science, Sigizind, are not necessarily halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Many things in science are transient. They are proved one generation and then they're disproved the next. Especially in this arena of behavioral science. So for example, one of the contemporary gedolim in behavioral science is an organizational psychologist by the name of Adam Grant. Some of you may have heard of him. He's written some really good books. So Adam Grant, one of his recent books is about rethinking. Because he says there were analyses that he did of college students when he was younger, and now he does other research, and he finds that there was flaws, or there were assumptions. So when it comes to chazakos of Chazal, that they're telling us something about human behavior, they're not just telling us something about the psychological frame. They're talking about a deep, what he calls this ontological principle. And so he goes on to give an example of one chazaka that Chazal give, and he talks about how that's a perpetual reality. So I think the idea of studying behavioral science and how people act and how they react to creating change in their life, which is the basic premise of the book, how to change, what is it that helps people change, is interesting, I think, to me, from a spiritual growth perspective. But at the same time, we have to be careful that just because there's some research that a couple of graduate students did and it's printed in this book, that doesn't mean that it is, in the words of the Rav, it's not an ontological principle, right? It's just something for us to think about. At the same time, my rabbi, Rabbi Benjamin Yudin, he used to like to say, he used to say, probably still says it, that we had it first. Before psychologists figured out a lot of things about human behavior, Chazal already had insights into this. And that's why when Dr. Pelkovitz and Lahavdil bin Achaim and Achaim, Rabbi Pelkovitz, Zichron Levracha, when they went to write a book together, so David, they would meet in Far Rockaway at the senior Pelkovitz's. David would come and he would, you know, they would talk about research. And Rabbi Pelkovitz, because he was just an Ish Eshkolos from like all these Jewish Sfarim from Europe that he just kind of, he had, I guess, at the tip of his fingertips, he had lots of notes and papers and everything. So he would just say, oh, that research, yeah, there's a Chazal that says like this. There's a Moser Sefer that says like that. He didn't always quote the Sfarim, just to say like, the Sfarim say. So we trust that there was some Sfarim that usually said that. But the idea that Chazal had remarkable insight, as the Rav is saying, into human behavior, and that what we're finding now in many of these research experiments actually bears out and is able to give us insight into how people can change and how we can grow in our avodas Hashem and be the best people that we can. To me, that's like, isn't that a great idea? So that's what we're going to try to do. So with that introduction, we're going to look at one of the first nekudas that she brings up in this book, and that's what we would call in halacha, we would call that hischadshus, renewal, or newness. So she talks about one guy in the book who, in the late 90s, this guy was, I would say from a healthcare standpoint, he was a disaster. He was overeating, heavy smoker, never exercised, didn't take care of himself. The guy was a mess. And he had a brother who was like a gon adir in health. P.S. A few years later, this schlub wins the Alaskan ultra triathlon, shmiathlon, whatever it is.
Hey, don't belittle it.
I'm saying it's like, it's mamish, like, I couldn't even get, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I'd be like,
it was just the idea of that.
I'm saying like, it was, this guy became, how did he do it? She says, what was the whole yisod? He says, I'll tell you how I did it. He says it was December of 1999, and he's looking at himself. He looks in the mirror and he says, I'm a mess. He says, you know, the first thing I need to do is I need to quit smoking. That's the first thing I need to do. He says, but he's tried quitting smoking 100 times. But he realizes, you know what it's going to be? It's going to be January 1st, 2000. So he says to himself, it's a new millennium. The whole world is freaking out about this. Remember, it was a whole Y2K. Remember this? So the guy says to himself, he says, you know what? On New Year's Eve, I'm just going to take my last cigarette. He's going to drag the last drag, and that's going to be it. V'kachava. The next day, he had a craving. He didn't smoke a cigarette because he decided, it's January 1st, for God's sake. And that became the journey from him to becoming the kind of person that he always wanted to become. But he just could never get it going. So what the research shows is that if people are able to either experience or construct a new circumstance, a new experience, that is a catalyst for change. That's what we call the koach of hischadshus. So they did research, interesting research. People who switched jobs, people who moved into new cities or new homes. So many people, they were able to create new habits, new versions of themselves, because they created a point after which they start fresh. There's a separate Torah, which we'll have to get to, about maintenance. But it's not coincidental that gym membership, they have all these interesting statistics that you can look in the book. That's not really, we don't need it. Right? They're always high. So now there's a second question about maintenance. But why is it that all of a sudden in January, because people feel there's a hischadshus, there's something new. There really isn't anything new. You know, if I smoked yesterday, there's no reason I shouldn't smoke today. But for some reason, there's something about us that we're willing to give ourselves a new chance, a new start, when we feel that there's something new. Right? We move to a new stage in life, and we feel that we're unshackled from the past, and now we can become that person that we want to become. And perhaps this is something that Chazal are trying to tap into in many different ways. And that when we think about it, each in our own way, in our own growth, if we come back to this ultimate goal of tshuva, of becoming our best selves, we can look for these, or even create these little opportunities for hischadshus, these little beginning points, the starting point at the race, and realize that, okay, so now is a hischadshus. You know what I think the biggest was a interesting ha'ara. There were a couple of guys, we were getting together for a lunch meeting not too long ago, a couple of guys from the neighborhood, and one of the guys said he started doing Daf Yomi. And another guy said, you know what the hardest thing about Daf Yomi is? Starting. It was a fascinating insight. He said the hardest thing about Daf Yomi was starting. It's the chiddush. It's just getting past the first base. But do you know how many people start Daf Yomi after the Siyum? Because they feel like there's no mitzvah to start Daf Yomi in Brachos, right? There are lots of people who start Daf Yomi in many places, but lots more people start at the Makom of Hischadshus. People start Daf Yomi at the beginning of a new Masechta. Most people don't start Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Peivov. Like 86. Like that's not a thing. So what's the pshat? The answer is people feel there's this, where's it come from? So perhaps this is one of those expressions that modern behavioral scientists are figuring out is, it's part of our DNA because the Ribbono Shel Olam put it in our DNA. So the first mitzvah of the Torah, if you look on your Mar Mekomos, Vayomer Hashem Moshe ve'al ha'aron ve'eretz Mitzrayim lemar. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam tell us? Ha'chodesh hazeh lachem rosh chodashim. This month for you is the head of all the months. Rishon hu lachem l'chad she'ashana. So says Rashi, not here. Rashi, the way back at the beginning of Brachos, the first Rashi in all of Chumash, which is interesting that this is where he starts. Amar Reb Yitzchak. Lo ha'yotzarech la'askelus ha'torah ela me'achodesh hazeh lachem. There was no need to start the Torah except from achodesh hazeh lachem. Shehi mitzvah rishona shenitzdavu ba Yisrael. It is the first commandment that the Jewish people received. Isn't that interesting? Why is it that we had to get the first mitzvah, which was Achodesh Hazeh Lachem?
Why is it?
Yeah, why? What's the significance of that?
Because it's one of the few mitzvahs where B'nai Yisrael themselves, you know, declare.
Okay, number one, we own that mitzvah. Yeah. We set the months. But that, isn't that Omer Darshini? Why is it that they gave us Kivyachal, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the capacity to create. Yes. And that's why the word Chodesh and the word Chiddush are the same. It's a Hischadshus. And so to speak, what the Ribbono Shel Olam is telling us is that the capacity for renewal is the basic beginning starting point, and it's given to us. You can be mechadish anytime. We have our own New Year's, Lahavdil. It's Rosh Hashanah, which is Rosh Chodesh. But we also have it 12 months a year, or 13 this year. Rosh Chodesh is Chodesh, is Miloshen Chodesh, which is Miloshen Chidesh. The Rebbe Shalom wants us to realize that every day, every moment of our lives, we can start again. It's such an empowering idea. Because what was holding all the people back? What's holding all the people back, what's holding us back, is feeling like, you know, for the last 15 years, I've been a smoker, I smoked every day. So how am I going to change now? I define myself based on the past. But now the Rebbe Shalom is saying, your first mitzvah is to realize, no. Your life is about chiddush, about eschadshus. Some of you know that the first thing, or maybe after Moda'ani, first thing we do in the morning, before we get dressed, before we daven, first thing out of the box is we wash our hands. So there are two opinions why we wash our hands. The Mishnah Berurah quotes two opinions. He quotes a Rashba. Look at this, source number three. Quotes from the Rashba, Rav Shlomo ben Aderik, famous, important Rishon, 14th century. V'arashba kasav, against the Rush, lefi shebishachar achar hashena, in the morning, after we slept, anu nasim kibriya chadasha, we're like a new creature, a new creation. Dichsiv, as it says in Pasuk, chadashim labikarim, new in the morning, Rabba Emunasecha, that's part of Moda'ani, Rabba Emunasecha. And therefore, Tzrichim Anu Lahodos Lo Yizbarach, we have to thank God, Shebra'anu Lechvodu Lesharsu Levarach Shmo. We were created by God each day to bring honor to the Ribbono Shalom, to serve the Ribbono Shalom, to bless in His name. Va'al Dovar Zeh Tignu B'Shachar, Kol Osan of Brachos She'anu Mevarachim, we have all the Brachos. Lachain Gam Dovar Zeh Tignu, they also established this, to wash hands. Why? Because we're new. It's almost like you're washing away the old, and today's a new day. Maybe yesterday I didn't really prioritize this, that which was important, but it doesn't matter, because yesterday's over. I washed my hands of it. There's even an expression in English like that, right? When you want to let go of something, in English you would say, I washed my hands of this. So kivyachol, you're washing your hands, right? The other opinion is there's ruach ra, so al pi kabbalah, you wash your hands to get rid of the ruach ra. According to the Rashba, you're washing your hands of yesterday because all of the failures and all of the shortcomings and all of the mistakes of yesterday, it's avar, it's gone. Chadashim labakarim. If a person didn't believe this, then we would never make progress. We would never reinvent ourselves. We would never grow. Every day when we say Moda'ani, we wash until it's a dime, what we're saying is, today's a new day. It's a totally new day. And it's not just every day. Take a look at this, the Rabbi Yisrael of Ruzhin, the Ruzhina Rebbe, in the Sefer, he has some Likutim. Look at this verse, not just every day. It says like this, Kol HaNeshama Tehalol Ka. We say in the Tehillim, the last Mizmar of Tehillim, every breath that a person takes, we're praising Hashem. So the word neshama, which means soul, chazal, second line, darshu, in the Rashi script, in number four, al kol neshima uneshima, on every breath, tahaloka. Why? So says the Regina Rebbe, ki b'chol rega v'rega, at every moment and moment, haneshama, the person's soul, rotza lotzeis min haguf, wants to escape the entrapment of the physical world and go back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. God keeps our soul within us so that we have a life force every day and every moment. So he says, therefore, Venimsa, turns out, Shebechol Rega, and every moment, Nase Bria Chadasha. A person can view themselves as totally renewed. Every moment. Because every moment is, in a certain sense, a new start. Because at this moment, my neshama would be flying back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but no, have a new start, a fresh start. So the Regina says, he says, this is such a source of chizuk. Such a source of chizuk. Why? Umizeh yachol ha'odem lovli de'ischazkos. A person can really strengthen themselves. Kishenafalo machshava b'shas tefila v'avoda. A person has a davening, and they don't have any good kavana, or they didn't daven, or they failed in any part of life. Maybe it was a business venture. Maybe it was a relationship. Maybe it was anything that we're going to do that we feel like, ah, it was a failure. It says, it doesn't matter. Hallo ata moli psham v'chatam. Yeah, we made lots of mistakes. Eich tucha lamud v'leftuach picha ledabar dvarm. How can we daven today? Yesterday's davening didn't have kavana. Last week's davening didn't have kavana. Maybe 10 years we didn't daven. But says the Regina, it doesn't matter. Because if we view yourself, we view ourselves with a koach of chiddush, then we can let go of that. Nasa bria chadasha, and in this moment, I can do anything. Sometimes it's difficult, not because of ourselves, but for other people. Right? Sometimes we actually hesitate to make strides in our personal growth or in our spiritual growth, because other people are holding us back. They say, ah, I see, you start wearing tzitzis. You didn't wear tzitzis. You know, when we were in seventh grade, you didn't wear tzitzis. So what we need to tell those people, but we don't have to tell them, we just tell them in our mind, maybe that was seventh grade. Maybe that was last week. But today I'm a Birya Chadasha, so today I decide I'm going to wear tzitzis. So who cares? The notion that you can free yourself from the past and consider yourself new every moment. And where does that come from? So in this week's Parsha, Parsha's Chayisara, the Hilkos Tzfasemes, the great Ger Rebbe, you see in number 5, he says that's the difference between being what's called Tachas HaShemesh, underneath the sun in this world, versus above the sun. We are attributed to a neshama, something more spiritual. V'aklalu k'mo shekasov ein kol chodesh Tachas HaShemesh. There's nothing new under the sun. Who says that? Who says Ein Chodesh Tachas HaShemesh? That's right. Shlomo HaMelech, that book is like, it's rough. I mean, besides the fact that it's very long. What's that? That's right. You wonder like, so that's why Chazal wondered if we should keep Koheles or, but they kept it for us.
It's got a lot of good songs.
It has good songs.
That's more sure.
That's right. That's it. We got it. So that's like 14 chapters, you got it to one pasuk. But what does it say in Koheles? In Koheles it says, you know, there's nothing new Tachas HaShemesh. Everything that is, always was. And it's this, you know, maybe psychologists would call this almost like a psychology of futility. Futility is, there's no point. Why bother? Why bother joining the board if historically this board has been a dead end? So why bother? Why bother making any strides in, you know, in rehabilitating the business? Business, it never succeeds. It's never going to go anywhere. Why bother improving my meters? I always yelled at this person. It's never going to get any better. So Koheles is saying, Tachas HaShemesh is true. There is no chiddush. And that comes with a life of futility, of a guy sitting in December, overweight, drinking and smoking himself into oblivion. But says the Tzfasemes, Kumo kein lehepach, the opposite, kol masha lemaila mehashemesh. This is in Tuf Reish Lamed Aleph, 1870. He gave this as a drasha to the Chassidim, this week's Parsha. He says, Chevra, if you want to view yourself trapped in this world, so that's it, you're in a dead end. You're just trapped. But if you see yourself as lemaila mehashemesh, above that solar limit, chutz lateva, yesh tamid hischadshus. There's always new things. There are always opportunities to start fresh. So maybe last season it didn't work out, so there's always a new season. Last week it didn't work out, so this week is a new week. This fundamental core distinction is crucial for the question of how to change. If we view that we're trapped by our past, we're never going to change. We're never going to develop good new habits because we're always going to be saddled by the old. You know that the Yetzirah, according to the Medrash in Koheles, is referred to as a melech zakein uchsil, a foolish old king. That's maybe why Rabbi Nachman says that a person is not allowed to get old. person's not, never allowed to be old. It's amazing. You meet people, you can meet people who are in their 30s and their 40s and they're very old. And then you can meet people in their 90s who are very young. You can meet people like that. Because if a person has an attitude of yashan, that it's fixed, it's all old, it's like the Carol Dweck mindset. Is it fixed or is it malleable, growth mindset? If a person doesn't believe in his chachas, so then they turn 30 years old or they turn 25 or they turn 40, whatever, they're like, that's it, it's done, there's no change. So there's no growth. That's the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah says you're a zakein. You can't grow anymore. There's no more change. You're fixed. This is who you are. But the Sfasema says, you could choose something else. You could choose a life that's me'al ha-teva, that's above the Shemesh. And you can make changes. You could take on new things. Some of you know my amazing mentor, Rabbi Yaakov Glasser from YU. So his wife, Ruth, she lost both of her parents. Her father, her mother died a few years ago. Her father passed away about a year and a half ago, I think. Her father was a very, very prominent Jewish academic. He had thousands of pages of historical research that he had done on primary documents and libraries across Europe. He was a very, very accomplished professor. And one day, you know, he decided, you know what, this was good, but he felt like he wanted to do something different. I forget whether he was 65 or 70. He quit his job in the university and he went to social work school. And then he worked for the department. He lived in Los Angeles, Zichrono Livracha. Then he worked for the Department of Los Angeles, whatever they call like the Health and Human Services, sitting, helping, talking with homeless addicts in LA, of which, lo aleinu, there are not a few. And Rabbi Glasser told me the story about his father-in-law after he died. I thought, there are many, many amazing levels of the story. So one of the things he's describing is like, could you imagine Nebuch, some broken soul, talking to a man who was like a genius in German-Jewish scholarship of 1,000 years while he's dealing. But the great, amazing thing was like, you know what? He just decided, what, I'm sure that many of the people in his academic milieu thought that he lost his mind. But you know what? He just decided, he said, you know what? At this point in his life, he wants to do something different. He wants a chiddush. He wants something that's more meaningful. Not that his Jewish studies wasn't meaningful, but that was how he lived the rest of his life, as a social worker for broken human beings on the streets of LA. You could be at the top of your field, but you could decide, you know what? I'm doing something new. I want to do something new. And we need to listen to those stories carefully, because we need to be matir asurim. We're tied up in the past thinking like, oh, I can't possibly change. You know, this is my reputation. This is who I am. And yet, people do it. People do it. And I think that's the opportunity for us. What the Sfasemis is saying in this week's parasha, you know, 140 years ago, he's saying we have to make a choice. Do we want to live tachas HaShemesh? Do we want to live in a place, meaning internally, where we're so old we can never change? Or do we want to live in a place where every day we wake up and we say, we wash our hands. We have chiddush, we have newness. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. We're going to be new. We're going to do something new today. You know, maybe in our marriage we're going to try something new. I never thanked this person for such a thing. I'm going to try to thank them now. Maybe they'll look at me funny the first time. You know what? Maybe they'll like it. Maybe they wouldn't mind being acknowledged or thanked for something. But we first have to believe that there is this koach achirish. And then you go around strategizing. Okay, when is this chiddush going to take place? Is it going to be at this neshima, like the Regina? Is it going to be in the morning? Is it going to be tomorrow? Is it going to be Rosh Chodesh? Is it going to be Rosh Hashanah? But to realize we have that koach achidish. And that's perhaps why the notion of tshuva is very much connected with the idea of chiddush, of ischachus. So Rav Kook, you know, Rav Kook was one of the great poets and expositors of tshuva, of our generation, of our, you know, era. So this is in Perek Gimel. He has different pieces about tshuva in Oros HaTshuva, the lights of tshuva, and he's talking about how tshuva tshuva has many dimensions. You know, a lot of us sometimes think, we think about tshuva as kind of like a narrow process that relates to a particular thing which I did. You know, I stepped on that person, so I need to mend that relationship, which is true. That's also part of tshuva. Tshuva also sometimes comes with feelings of guilt, and sometimes it comes with feelings of shame, which are unhealthy, but guilt is a little bit healthy, that's good. It comes with feelings of, a lot of different kinds of feelings that go with tshuva, when we think about ourselves honestly. So Rav Kook writes something interesting, though. He says, Margishu, a person who is undergoing this process of being our best selves, Margishu, the person feels, Ubechol yom v'yom sha'over alav, every day that we see, today's a new day, we're going to do something more, we're going to do something better, maybe I never gave any tzedakah before, but you know what, I can give it today. What's the difference? I didn't give it yesterday, today's a new day. Bahaskamas tshuva ila uklal azus. With this haskama, with this resolution, we have to decide. I'm making this process. That's the nature of tshuva. It's an internal choice, very much like the Svasemis was saying. You choose whether you want to make progress or you want to stay fixed. Hargasho so nasi yoser betucha. We actually feel more confident. This guy, who was Nebuch, trapped in his life of being in this unhealthy cycle of eating and smoking and wasting his life away, once he got that koach achidish, once he got that first day covered without a cigarette, then he got a little stronger, and a little stronger, a little stronger, until he's running this ultra marathon, this unbelievable race. You actually, the more you work this muscle of hischachus, of tshuva, you don't feel worse about yourself, you feel better about yourself. Hargasha so nasi yoser betucha, second line. Yoser mechuveris, you become more clear. Yoser mu'ara, more enlightened. Be'or haseicha, with the light of intellect. V'yoser mizba'eris, and it's more clarified. Api yisodi ha-Torah. And it keeps growing. It doesn't mean it's a straight line. Rav Kook talks about how we have ups and downs. Doesn't mean that sometimes you don't fall off the wagon sometimes. But we start feeling actually better about ourselves. Look at the third last line here in this paragraph. Ruach HaKodesh HaMikashkeshes Lefanav. The spirit of the Ribbono Shel Olam that is, it's Mikashkesh. Lekashkesh means to tingle or bang around, knock. Kezug, like a bell. Vehu Mevusar. And the person realizes, Shenimchu Kol Pshav, that all the mistakes of our past, they've been erased. How you doing, v'she'enim you doing, the things that we knew and we didn't know. V'shu nivra mecharash b'riya chadasha. You're born again. You're a new person. It's interesting. It's not strict halacha, but it was the practice. You know, unfortunately, once in a long while, in the Middle Ages, they had Jews who became apostates for various reasons. And then when they came back, so in the Ashkenazi communities, many of them had the mikvah as a practice that when they returned to the community, they had to go to the mikvah. They were still Jewish when they were out of the community, but when they came back, it was kind of a symbol of hischachus. The whole idea of going to the mikvah is a hischachus. So Rav Kook says, when we go through that slow, gradual process of tshuva, we feel that we are nivra mechadash birya chadasha. And not only that, shakol ha'olam kulo, the whole world, vis-a-vis me, when I take that next little step, and I've renewed myself, I'm at Birya Chadasha, the world is new. V'chol ha'olamim, all the worlds are new. V'akol omer shira, everybody's feeling better. We feel better when we renew ourselves. And this is captured in a really nice book. It's a nice book on tshuva in English by a Chabad writer. His name is Rav Dov Ber Pinson. Tshuva means to believe that today is the first day of your life. I like that line. You can access the deepest truth of tshuva the moment you can truly tell yourself, today is a new day. All of my past, the good and the bad, is in the past. Today, I'm choosing Hashem. As Rabbi Yonah writes, the foundation of tshuva is considering today as the day you were born, the first day of your life, and you have no demerits or merits. So maybe this can answer the age-old question. You know, people ask, and I think we probably discussed multiple perspectives on this over the years, why Rosh Hashanah is the first of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. There's no Alchet, there's no Vidui, there's no clapping. In what way is Rosh Hashanah the first day of Tshuva? So maybe this is one answer to that question. The first step in Tshuva is saying, Hayom Haras Olam. Today everything is new. The first step in Tshuva is believing that we have a new start, a clean slate, a fresh day. So that maybe is the first step in Tshuva. It's understanding that we're a Briya Chadasha. So what Katie Milkman would say is, wow, this is amazing shtickle Torah, if she were here. And she would say, what we need to do now is figure out how to create in our own lives, lemaisa, these triggers. How do we see the new environment? So for example, you know, maybe especially coming out of COVID, it's good because in a lot of ways we theoretically can restart things in our lives that we didn't consider before. But if we can create this milestone of, okay, this is my first time having Shabbos company since the pandemic. Well, maybe we never had a Dvar Torah on Shabbos, but it's the first Shabbos company that we had since the pandemic. So maybe we're going to have a Shabbos Dvar Torah now that we, you know, it's going to be the first Shabbos of Sefer Shemos. We can make anything into the first. We just have to make it that. We just have to realize that that has the potential. You know, we don't have to wait till Y2K, which is going to be, I mean, we missed that. And I don't think we want to wait for Y3K. I don't know what that's going to be like. But the notion that if we are sensitive to this, we can find a lot of firsts. You know, and if you look carefully, you notice who does this very well. Elementary schools do this really well. Day schools do this really well. They capitalize on this in an amazing way. And somehow we forget this, like most things, because we're old and stupid. When we were kids, we did this really well. You know, your first Chumash, your first Siddur, your first Rashi, your first, right? We did that really well. And now we've become, the Yetzer Hara tells us, Melech Zakinu Ksil. But you know what? There's no reason for that. There's no reason. Ashreich Shemalkech Nar, that we should view ourselves, we should go back to that. You know, this is our first, you know, fill in the blank. It's our first shiur of the year. It's our first, you know, Rosh Chodesh benching since I've been in shul. Whatever that first is, to recognize that first and have that be a stepping stone and a catalyst for whatever that thing is we're going to work on. You know, I think the more you realize we have the potential for Hiskachos, and the more you have your antennae up, which is what she's pointing out, it's like there are a lot of these things that are just floating around. You just need to be attentive to them. Then I think this is one step. This is her first chapter. One of the Nikudas in the first chapter is what we could call the Koach of Hiskachos. So, Science and Torah, Part 1. Shkoyach.